This is Saturday Night with Tony McManus.
And I'm thrilled, delighted to say that the great man is on the line, Ray Martin. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Tony. Nice to talk to you again, and even on a Saturday night.
Yeah, it's great to catch up. And I often say to the kids or anybody that will listen, when you see your face on the TV, when you see hear your voice on the radio doing all sorts of marvellous things, and we'll talk about the road next travel in just a tick, everything seems right with the world.
Well, that's very kind. It's a great privilege what you and I do. Rabbiting on about a whole range of things on the radio or television is good fun, and it's much better than working, I've got to tell you that.
Well, I've often said that, but when you're 35, you are actually working, but when you get, dare I say it, just a little older, we start to be able to enjoy these moments more than maybe we did when we were 35.
Yeah, certainly cherish it. I must say, even at 35, I'd been the ABC New York correspondent for about 10 years and had come back to work on 60 Minutes so at that age. So life was pretty good even then, and had been for, I think, almost since birth, I was going to say, but certainly since I made the move that I didn't want to be an historian but wanted to be a journalist. I can't quite, pinch myself still these days when I go to interesting places and meet interesting people and think, geez, what have you done to deserve to be so lucky? So I hope other people say the same thing about their jobs.
Ray, do you look at, I think during the week, one of the top rating shows was on ACA, and it was the interview with Oprah. Do you sometimes look at that or think, gee, I'd still like to be doing that type of a program?
Yeah, I do. It's what she does is, I guess, tell stories through people. And that's really been what I've loved doing for the last 50-odd years as a journalist. I was first graded in Perth and wandered around WA then. But yes, I would like to, because it's, in a sense, to get somebody to talk on television or radio as though there wasn't an audience, as though they're just talking to you, as we're doing, is a great, it's a great skill. And she does it better than most. She's able to, despite the fact there's all the showbiz of the American size, and Oprah comes with a lot of baggage in the sense that she is who she is. Nevertheless, people open up to her and say things that I used to find, doing midday myself, I used to find quite often on 60 Minutes as well, that I'd wonder why people are telling me all these things, these private things about their lives. And she gets it all the time, and I think it's because people trust her and think that she's going to be sensible about it.
I read Larry King's book, The Wonderful Broadcaster Telecaster, and Larry said that he honed his skills primarily hosting overnight radio programs.
Yeah, well, I guess that allows you to get away with with blue murder and make mistakes and get out of it. I remember on one occasion at the ABC in Perth, rather, when I was first there back in the late 60s, and I went on air and a couple of tapes broke. We used to physically just cut the tapes and join them together in those days, and I'd been out doing an interview with Sir Walter Murdoch at the university and about Henry Lawson, and for some reason and some anniversary. Anyway, the tape broke a couple of times in air, and I uttered, this is back in the late 60s, I uttered a profanity that I really shouldn't have said, and I walked out and the announcer said, I don't think it went to air, but I'm not sure. And as I walked out the door, I ran into the manager of the ABC in Perth, and he gave me a blue memo, which is usually the kiss of death, and I thought, I've destroyed my career before it begins. And I checked the memo upstairs. It said that the previous day I had said schedule instead of schedule. I'd committed this cardinal sin of a mispronunciation. Thankfully, the profanity didn't get to air, so I kept the job, and the rest is history.
It just shows how things have changed, though, really. Early part of the 80s, working at 3BA in Ballarat, and we were doing an outside broadcast from Tasmania, Hobart, from Rest Point back to the Ballarat audience. And I'd made some sort of comment on air, and I said, look, why don't you go make your own bloody coffee? So about, during the next ad break, the general manager, lovely bloke by the name of Peter Caligari, walked up the stairs. And on the OB line off air said, Tony, I've heard of Bushell's coffee, and I've heard of Nescafe coffee. Never the brand you mentioned. Never mention it again.
Is that right? Yeah.
And that was just for using the word bloody. I mean, how things have changed in 30 years.
On midday too, I mean, we used to have comics who'd get on, and they wouldn't rehearse, of course, with us. They'd just go out and do their 2-minute stand-up, and they would occasionally use that same word. They'd say bloody this or bloody that. And I remember Sam Chisholm, the boss of the network, who was fairly renowned for his profanities, ringing me up and saying, did you have any idea that he was going to say that? And I said, well, no, Sam, I didn't really. And he said, well, you know, it isn't good for the program, it isn't good for the station, so please try and stop it. And that was, as I say, in his private life, he said a few more words than that. But nevertheless, on television or radio, you weren't supposed to say it.
I hope people have been following via 6PR the wonderful series that you and others have produced called The Road Next Travel. I think Series 2 is about to get underway, right?
Yes, indeed. It is. In fact, you can download it on iTunes or on 6PR's website, the blog, the podcast, rather.
Yeah.
For that. It's been fantastic, actually, and it's been quite a revelation for me, too.
So along doing the interviews for The Road Next Travel, you've learned, presumably, a little bit about some of the things that people need to consider as we all get just a little older.
Indeed, as Australia ages, I must say it's one of those things that for me, it's the sense that it's not the last chapter. Where retirement is not the last chapter; it's just the next chapter in what we do. And that's been the message, I suppose, from the Road Next Travel we've done, and we've been backed by Colonial First State in doing it. And I say that as a free plug, only in the sense that what they've in talking to some of their execs, it's been good for me to realise that the first thing you do is get some good financial advice when you're thinking of the joys of putting your feet up a bit and maybe going on the holiday or doing something with the superannuation you've been building up, get some good financial advice. And you don't have to be wealthy. You know, if you've got a superannuation scheme, then that's probably enough and you need some help. And I think that was the huge advice for me. And I think what I've said to friends and family who've asked me about the series of programs, saying, you know, do you have a financial advisor? You know, you better go and pick one, because they can make your life much more livable in the next 10 or 20 or 30 years that you're going to live.
Yeah.
When you retire.
And right, my daughter's just finished financial planning, and I say you've got a great future ahead of you, because it's still sadly for most part, and if you were talking to Paul Clitheroe, I'm sure he would say the same thing, that people are not really managing their finances as much as they should, and we know that pension dollar is getting smaller, Ray.
Absolutely. And what's more, I think we tend to think, you know, it's okay for Kerry Packer, okay for the wealthy people to have a financial advisor. But the lesson of this series, the second series we're starting, has been, look, you know, if you don't need a lot of money to actually need some advice. And the advice so often, as with retirement, with the next sort of third of your life for many people, the advice is more than just financial. It's advice, it's advice about really well-being, about, you know, if your finances are reasonably stable, and you and your wife or you and your partner can survive on that, well, then you could start to do the things you've dreamed of doing and, you know, take a left turn in your life, if you like. But if you're worrying about whether you can afford to get some tyres for the car or a tyre for the car and all those sorts of things, then you're going to be, the next 30 years is going to be fairly anxious.
Right, you stay right where you are. Enjoy that cup of coffee. Is that a special cup of coffee?
It is a special cup of coffee, just like you served me once.
We'll come back. Got more with Ray Martin straight after this here at 882 6PR. It's the best 6 hours at 26 past 10. We're having a coffee with Ray Martin.
Saturday night with Tony McManus.
Just take another sip, Ray, if you will.
No, it's good. It's very good. Yeah, please. This time on a Saturday night, it's perfect.
It's good to have you on as part of the program. I often think about you, given the enormous history of over 50 years. If you had to do an amazing interview this week, what would be the number one interview on the planet? Would it have something to do with American politics, or Australians not sufficiently interested?
I know, I think we are. And what's more, you know, as we find with Wall Street, when America costs, we catch a cold. So we really have to be conscious of what the Americans do. But my number one interview would be with the Queen. If she was prepared to talk about, and I'm not a royalist, I'm very much in favour of a republic, but I think she has been in such an interesting position and a really important position in world affairs, and certainly Australia and British affairs for all her life, and the last since she became a queen in the 50s, then I think if she was prepared to talk about some of those secrets, even things like the dismissal of Gough and Whitlam in Australia, but some of those things, she would be my number one choice. I think that, you know, A, she's got a good sense of humour, and I imagine she's a reasonably good storyteller. But beyond that, she's had, if not a finger in the pie, she's certainly had an ear to all the developments that have happened in, I was going to say, not just Britain, but the British Commonwealth,
yeah,
as it used to be. So in that sense, I mean, I think along with the Pope, maybe, you know, the two key people, that would be kind of interesting to have a chat to.
John Paul would be amazing to have a chat to. How did that all work out for everybody? And sadly, when as gracious as Her Majesty is, when she goes. A lot of that presumably will never be told.
Now, it's interesting, though, isn't it, that, you know, things filter out about even Gough's dismissal this week, and they do, history has a way of unravelling some of these, or exposing some of these secrets of the past. So, you know, we've learnt a lot more about her predecessors, you know, going right back to Elizabeth I or going back to the Tudors in England, that they didn't want to get out. And that was before television and before internet and emails and things like this. So there is clearly enough evidence around of things that's happened in the period of Queen Elizabeth II that she might like to keep quiet, but I suspect it'll probably sneak out.
Ray Martin, what's your feeling, given that we're still 12 months away, will we have the first female president of the United States?
Yes, I think we will. I spent 10 years in America, and I follow and I'm fairly obsessed with American politics. But the mistake you make, as with those who, like me, who doubted whether Obama would be able to be elected, we were proven wrong. So it is very volatile, and it only needs, you know, something really serious to be exposed about Hillary Clinton. And I'm not suggesting there's anything to be exposed, but it can change so suddenly in America. You know, I'm sure that Republicans will come to their senses fairly soon and move away from Trump. But I don't think there's anyone there who can actually oppose Hillary. And to get a woman after having had a black president, a woman, the first woman, is necessary and hopefully a progressive step for the Americans as it was for us.
What staggers me about, if you watch this, as a casual observer, I mean, there's another 12 months to go. You sort of forget to some degree that Obama is still in charge.
Yeah, that's right. The American election really runs for all 4 years of each president's term. It doesn't stop. And I think we're getting that stage as well, where it's everything that the prime minister or the government of the day, no matter what party does, it's always put in the context of the next election, as though that was the most important thing that governed us. And maybe that's a reason why we should go to 4 year or 5 year elections, which is what the Brits have done. We've done in state politics. But it seems like governments, especially if we change leaders all the time, that governments don't get a chance to bring through policies that they've actually been elected to do. So in some ways, I think it's sort of undemocratic to run things the way we've run them for the last 10 or 15 years. And so one's hoping that in America, as in Australia, we can have a little bit of stability and start to change the landscape.
A special guest tonight, we'll keep him just for another few moments, is Ray Martin. And Ray, a couple of things I want to raise with you, but in particular, social media, because that's really changing the landscape, you know, virtually day by day. And things that come up, I think the Adam Goods situation that we've seen with former Australian of the Year Adam Goods, the booing on the football field, and recently with the link between David Jones and his appointment as an ambassador. Some of the stuff that you read on social media, it's really ugly. It bothers me for a range of reasons.
Yeah, it's an excuse to forget our manners,
yeah.
Social media. Unfortunately, people think that they can say things as they do and get away with it, things they wouldn't say in public, at work or at in the social club, they'll say on social media. And what's more, it's a license to be outrageous and to be venal almost. And I think some of the stuff with Adam Goods has been, if you meet Adam Goods, he is one of the last sportsmen or women that you'd actually start to pillory and start to throw bricks at. He's an exquisite individual. He's just an immaculate man, and I can't believe the sort of rubbish that's said about him. He is, I think, in anyone's definition, he is well-mannered and a proper human being, and so I'm appalled. Forget the colour of the man. I'm appalled with the things that have been said about and written about him, and that's social media. But in some ways, on that other side of social media, is that it is a freedom to for people to talk, and if you like, air their opinions. It's just that, you know, as our parents used to say, it's mind your manners. You can do that without quite being as rude and as you know, and venal, as I said, as some of that has been.
Just finally, a program like Q&A, and there's been an attempt to make a sort of a replica. I'm not too sure how that's going. But Q&A, I think that's a lovely format where people have the opportunity, despite some of the things that might get through at the bottom of the screen from time to time. That seems to work really well.
Yeah, I'm doing a report at the moment, of course, as you know, with the ABC on that, so I need to be a little circumspect in what I say.
Forgive me, I forgot about that.
We'll give that to the next few weeks. But having said that, I've also been, public before the terms were laid down on this, that it is one of those programs. I'm glad to see Channel 9 having a go at it. It's an area that I see, my children who are 30 and 25 watch the program on Twitter, and so that's an interesting development. If you can get younger people looking at and talking about and thinking about these fairly serious issues that Q&A does and yet presents them in a very watchable way, it's not the showbiz thing that I think Mr. Abbott tried to suggest it was, that it was all sort of left-wing lynch mob, and that sort of image is just very silly to have said that, and it's not true. But nevertheless, it's to get like a public meeting that they have every Monday night in which there's a chance for people to maybe not speak as freely as we think they are. It's a little more controlled because it's live television. But nevertheless, I think within those parameters, it's a great program. And for it to get close on a million people watching on the ABC on a Monday night at 9:30 is a credit to us that we watch it. I mean, it's more than would watch that sort of program on a Monday night in America. So I think it's an excellent program. And it's it's got to be entertaining. The same as the New York Times or the Times newspaper, the Guardian, and is entertaining as well as being informative. We've got this sort of it doesn't have to be as boring as the proverbial.
Do you still read a newspaper every day?
I read three newspapers every day. I find old habits die hard. My kids get all the news on the computer, but I love just having it there. And I also I like writing, and so I like to be able to sort of linger over phrases or bad phrases or whatever it might be. But no, I love newspapers.
Editor Ray Martin, Ray, it's a delight having a coffee with you on a Saturday night. Thank you so much for your time. We encourage people to download on iTunes or have a look at the 6PR website for the podcast of The Road Next Travel. It features Ray Martin. There's something there for everybody. You'll learn a lot, and I think you'll be excited and motivated to maybe explore more about the options leading into retirement and post-retirement.
Indeed. In fact, one of the things we had, Tony, just before I go, is there's a Professor Michael Valenzuela, who's a brain doctor, a researcher at Sydney University, a fascinating bloke, a Chilean Australian. And I was talking about Alzheimer's and dementia and so on with people in retirement and people who are getting older and how to head it off, as we all want to do. And he was saying the tango. Learn the tango. That's great.
Yes.
And learn another language. So if you can actually learn maybe Spanish and dance the tango, God, you and I could live to 100.
That's right. It's always a delight, Ray, and thank you so much for your time, and I hope we get to do it again soon.
Let's do it, Tony. And thanks for the coffee. That was fantastic.
Ray Martin, special guest Saturday night here at 6PR.